is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today for another in-depth conversation about topics that are really profound for your own health and well-being. And as you know, this is a show that enjoys the opportunity to have in-depth conversations with leading practitioners, scientists, healers, wise elders, and it's about empowering you with the knowledge so you can make those informed decisions for yourself and your family. And I'd like to welcome listeners who may be listening for the first time. I invite you to go to my website, which is whatwomenmustknow.com, and that's also where my Facebook is found, at What Women Must Know. And those are great places to sign up, to like me, to opt into my newsletter, because I will be sending archives of all the interviews to you directly, as well as getting special reports. And my Facebook page is a place where I get to post really interesting information pretty much on a daily basis. So it's all about getting empowered with that knowledge. And having said all that, I'm excited about my guest today, because there is a huge conversation right now going on really all over the world about the healing benefits of CBDs. Now, you may not know what CBDs are, but you are about to find out, because I have with me today one of the world's leading experts on understanding the benefit and application and therapeutic effect of what is known as CBD or cannabinoids. And let me first introduce you to him. He is Dr. Gregory Smith. He has earned his medical degree from Rush Medical School in Chicago and a Master's of Public Health from Harvard University. He completed residency training in preventative medicine at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Since leaving the U.S. Army with the rank of major, Dr. Smith has been in primary care practice in California, Georgia, and Florida for the past 25 years. He first trained on the use of medical cannabis in California in the year 2000 and has made medical cannabis and CBD oil part of his practice since that time. Dr. Smith is an avid writer, having published two medical textbooks, a novel called Malpractice, and articles with many magazines and over a dozen peer-reviewed medical publications. And he is the author of his latest book called CBD, What You Need to Know. And it's my great pleasure to welcome Dr. Gregory Smith to the show today. So welcome.
Thank you, Cheryl. That was a very nice introduction.
Well, you deserve a nice introduction. You have done some wonderful things and really are doing pioneering work. I believe you have written one of your textbooks for medical school has been on the use of CBDs or cannabinoids, and we're going to explain what that is, but it's the medicinal use of the hemp plant and medical marijuana. So that's pretty exciting. So are schools, medical schools, picking up on this, do you think?
You went right to the crux of the matter. So I spent 2.5 years of my life writing the textbook for doctors and nurses and pharmacists called Medical Cannabis, Basic Science and Clinical Applications, a treatise for scientifically based learning. And the medical community has been very, very difficult to work with, and they're so afraid of medical cannabis. The nursing community has been wonderful, that they are much more attuned to the effects of this plant-based medicine. But the MDs, pharmacists, and politicians that are attached to them have really struggled against bringing this wonderful plant to the average patient. So I wrote the second book to empower. So I love that word, empower, to empower patients to go do this stuff themselves. If the medical community isn't going to help them, then go help yourself, because that's how safe this medicine is.
So we're going to talk all about it, and there's lots to be said. I have been researching, investigating, and using the hemp extract, the agricultural hemp, the legal CBDs, for a while now, and I'm just amazed at all the benefits. So before we jump into that, the first question I really want to ask you is, how did such a traditionally trained Army doctor get into the medical marijuana world?
Because I was pissed. And the couple dozen doctors that I brought in the last 4 years, all in the same way, we are passionate about what we do, and we're mad that there's not one medical school in the United States to this day that teaches even how the system works, the endocannabinoid system. You don't have to mention cannabis if you don't want to, but mention the system. It's the second most important neurotransmitter system in the body. It's huge. It affects so many aspects of the brain and our functioning and our healing. And there's not one class and one medical school in this country. So I was pissed. And so that energy is what has transformed. And now I'm full-time doing this. And I love what I do, but I haven't worked this many hours since I was a resident. So be careful what you wish for.
Well, that's what happens when you become a pioneer and, you know, and have a passion. And you're right there at the leading edge. You know, we're at a point where we're having not just to move forward with science, but also to heal so many of the misperceptions and the propaganda that has gone on for decades now about this amazing healing plant that actually has been used for, you know, 8,000-10,000 years. So let's begin at the very beginning so my listeners can really understand the whole story. So first of all, let's start with this discovery of a new system in our body that is called the endocannabinoid system, which I'm sure most people have never heard of, although, as you just said, it's one of the most important systems for regulating our health that we have.
I'll make it easy. In fact, throughout our discussion, use the abbreviations because these cannabinoid words are challenging even to someone that uses them all day long. So the ECS is the endocannabinoid system. And, you know, we have CBD and THC. So we have lots and lots of abbreviations in this field of medicine because the original names are horrific. So the endocannabinoid system was not discovered until I was out of med school, sometime in the 90s. So prior to that, we didn't know this entire system worked in our bodies. And what this system is in charge of, it is the brakes on a series of other systems. Five words to summarize what it's the brakes for. So eat, sleep, relax, forget, protect. Those are the five. That summarizes all the other systems in our body that the endocannabinoid system is the brakes, slows it down, gets it back into control, back into homeostasis.
Okay. So that's really, there's so many questions I have. So here we have this profound system that regulates these key and vital functions, and we'll go into them a bit, but it was unknown until the 1990s. We just hadn't a clue. So how did we discover this ECS system?
Oh, good question. So we did discover CBD and THC in the 1960s. All of these discoveries are from Tel Aviv University. And so we did discover THC, and we knew that got us high. And so then the struggle for 30 years was, okay, we know THC gets you high. And you know, being high is a unique experience. It's not like being drunk, and it's not like being on opioids. It's its own separate thing. And so the researchers at the University of Tel Aviv kept looking for the receptors in the brain that make someone get high. And they also knew it stopped nausea and vomiting. It made you hungry, gave you munchies. And so they were looking for these receptors. And it wasn't until the 90s that we had the monoclonal antibody type testing techniques that we could find these receptors in brain tissue and mice and cell culture.
So it was in looking for where these substances, these molecules that we call THC, really it's the molecule in marijuana that gets people high and its other components, in finding them and then looking at how they were being received throughout the body, stumbled upon a whole new system, so to speak.
Pretty much, yes. There's a comical, semi-comical documentary on Netflix called The Scientist that covers all this, the one particular group of two very intelligent researchers at that University of Tel Aviv and their spouses and what they went through. And it's semi-comical, beautiful science, and it's on Netflix called The Scientist.
You know, this is, it's so profound because as medical marijuana gets legalized throughout the United States, and we're going to talk about the legal form of it, which is known as hemp extract or agricultural hemp or CBD, we really need to be educating everyone about the tremendous potential for healing so many conditions and restoring proper balance within our body. And I think this is where the, you know, the exciting area exists right now, is awakening people to how they can really get the benefit safely, effectively, and in some cases very profound ways for addressing and healing conditions that haven't been able to be safely addressed before.
Well, and that brings us to, you know, this particular, when I was invited by you to talk on what women must know, it's particularly vital to what we're discussing right now. And so there is such a thing called the endocannabinoid deficiency syndrome, ECDS. And so what that really means is we are not making enough of our natural cannabinoids. So our body makes natural cannabinoid molecules that are very similar to THC and CBD. So the THC and CBD are mimicking the real molecules that are made in our body. Okay, so that's why the plant-based molecules have an effect, because they look just like the molecules we make in our body. So there's a deficiency of enough of these natural chemicals. And when you have deficiency, I'm going to tell you the four most common syndromes that are now associated with not making enough of your natural endocannabinoids. And those are migraine, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, and anxiety. All four conditions are at least four times more common, 3 to 4 times more common in women than men. So the whole deficiency panel, you think of women when you think of not having enough of your endocannabinoids. And these conditions are all pretty dreadful and challenging to treat as a doctor, really challenging. Fibromyalgia, irritable bowel, migraine, and anxiety are very challenging conditions. And so our goal is just to raise up a cannabinoid tone, our natural amount of cannabinoids in our blood, and these conditions respond so nicely. So that's pertinent to this talk.
So this is kind of opens up an area that I think it's so important for people to really understand. So our body makes our own endocannabinoids. These are the molecules that fit into the receptor sites of the system that is balancing and creating critical, what we call homeostasis, in the body. This is regulating the systems perfectly. And so we make them. We're a little factory for these molecules that regulate the system. So what happens to put our body into an endocannabinoid or ECS deficiency? Because when anything is out of balance, you're going to start experiencing symptoms. And that's what happens when this newly found and a recognized important system, the endocannabinoid system, becomes deficient. So can we just elaborate on that? Because I think it's a really important point for people to truly understand.
Well, first of all, Cheryl, I think they're going to think we've prompted each other on these questions in advance, which we haven't. But that is the perfect question. And why are women 3 times as more likely to have this whole group of deficiency syndrome? There's other ways we use cannabinoids unrelated to deficiency syndrome, but these four conditions are so you have our natural our body in certain parts of our brain or body, and we get migraine, fibromyalgia, etc. So why women more than men? And the current theory is that women use up their endocannabinoids at a lot higher rate in our current culture. Especially younger women, childbearing age, 18 to 45, they are using up their cannabinoids much faster than they have been throughout history. All the intense overstimulation of social media, Facebook, constant attachment to your iPhone, the human animal was not supposed to be constantly attached to neural stimulation. And so we use up our neurotransmitters. Just like depression is a serotonin that is all used up, so we give them the serotonin, the uptake inhibitor to make more serotonin. we're using them up in our current culture, and women are, and teenage girls and young women are using them up faster than anyone else because of the nature of the things I talked about, smartphone, Facebook, social media.
Well, so it's stress and things that create more inflammation in the body and lead to more, you know, the whole pathway of disease, which is generated from inflammation, oxidative stress, impaired absorption of nutrients, the lack of sleep, you know, the stress response, too much cortisol. I mean, these are the conditions which we find ourselves in. This is life in our 21st century world, but unfortunately, we are suffering the consequences when we are out of balance, which, you know, I mean, our goal is to get in balance, but, you know, too many people living in the fast lane or worrying or anxious or watching too much news or too many hours on their wireless devices is altering how our body is working. So that's really what you're
very
saying.
Very much,
right?
Yeah. And here's it specifically in the amygdala and the limbic structure. So that's where emotional response, you know, women, as we know, we can argue, but women have a more emotional existence than men. And so emotions are generated in the limbic structures where we are filled with endocannabinoid receptors. These receptors are only in 12 parts of the brain. 90% of the brain doesn't have any cannabinoid receptors. That's the reason there is no overdose. You can never overdose from cannabis. You can eat a pound of it. You can smoke a pound of it. There will never be an overdose unless you've drowned in a sea of marijuana, because we don't have receptors in next to the heart and lung parts of the brain. Then that's how you die with opioids, is you have opioid receptors down there and they get stimulated and we stop breathing. But so there's only 12 centers in the brain where we have these cannabinoid receptors, and the most prevalent are the two areas of most important for logical issues are the amygdala, the emotional center, and the center that has to do with the nucleus accumbens, which has to do with our addictive behavior. So the desire, whether it be sex, alcohol, drugs, any addictive behavior is generated in the nucleus accumbens. And so those two centers are filled with endocannabinoid receptors. And then there's a few others that have moderate amounts of endocannabinoid receptors, and that's it. Most of the brain has none.
Wow. So if we are continually under emotional stress for many reasons, we are using up the natural molecules that help to keep us balanced, that help to manage inflammation, oxidative stress, and we become vulnerable. So part of the goal is to keep ourselves in balance, right? Because then we can make our own natural molecules that help to support this system.
Correct. But unfortunately, technology has gone faster than our genetic changes. You know, we can't keep up with 300 mm-hmm. years since industrialization. Our brain doesn't change, our genetics don't change that fast. So we are now overusing these molecules so quickly, and just, you know, the smartphone's only 10 years old. You know, Facebook is probably around that same age, 12, 15. So these social media, these new technologies are just using up our juices, and we can't get into balance if we're going to keep using these technologies. So we're going to need something to help us. So that is where CBD comes in. It is a perfect way to raise our cannabinoid tone naturally. Yeah. Okay, so it raises the amount of natural cannabinoids in our bloodstream.
You know, this is just an aside, but I do a lot of lecturing on the impact of electromagnetic radiation on our, you know, Wi-Fi, microwave radiation, all these devices, and they generate so much inflammation and oxidative stress on a cellular level. They're just so damaging that is leading to DNA damage. It's leading to all these chronic illness. So it's like we are in a perfect storm, aren't we, where our life is depleting these key systems, and then all the chronic illnesses and imbalances start showing up in our lives until we learn how to utilize the medicines, the natural plant medicines and lifestyle factors that can get us back to balance and sanity again.
It is. And so, you know, there's a point where you sort of need, sometimes you need vitamin D, you know, in our culture, and vitamin A. And it's all right to have these supplements within reason and with scientific foundation and with minimal side effects. Then I don't have a problem with someone having to supplement. with things like CBD. And right. THC really is never a supplement. THC is always used for treatment.
Right. So can we talk about the difference between what is known as medical marijuana and what is known as, agricultural hemp or hemp extract or CBDs? Can we kind of separate these two and help people understand the difference and why one is legal in all of the United States, all 50 states, and one, while the other one is not yet totally
That's
legal.
A can of worms, Cheryl, but I can give you a short version. So cannabis comes in two strains, indica and sativa. I'm sure we've all heard of that. And so the one strain is very tall, the sativa. And it tends to be used to make rope, and it's very high in CBD. Whereas indica comes in is short and stout, about 4 to 6 feet, and it's very high in THC and has almost no CBD. So you see they're two entirely different chemical and physical structures, but they all are cannabis sativa, but one's cannabis sativa indica, one's cannabis sativa sativa. So that's the complicated botany of all this. So the government decided sort of semi-arbitrarily, sometime in about the 1930s, that if it has less than 0.3, if it doesn't get you high because there's such a tiny amount of THC in it, then it's hemp, no matter what it looks like. And if it does have an amount that you can maybe can get possibly high, then it's marijuana. So that sort of, it's all politics. There's no science in that other than one plant tends to have a lot of CBD and a little bit of THC, and the other one's the exact opposite. And one's from India, one's from Europe. There's sort of history here with this plant. But there's not much medical science behind it. It's more politics behind it. I'll give you the 30-second interesting side note, though, since we do have a little bit of time to talk. Marijuana. Are you familiar with where that term came from?
The Mexican terminology?
Yeah, and I'll go a little deeper. So the end of alcohol prohibition, 1930s, Mexican migrant workers are coming into America and smoking marijuana for the first time. We weren't smoking it as a culture. It was CBD and THC oils were the second most common medicines in pharmacies 100 years ago. 1917, there was 2,000 products that had THC and CBD in them. So second most after aspirin, common. But that was an extract, and people were used to going to the store and buying an extract. No one was smoking marijuana until Prohibition came and the Mexican farm workers taught people how they could smoke and get high because you couldn't get high from alcohol. And so it became popular, and unfortunately it had racial intonation. Jazz singers were smoking it, and maybe white women were hanging out with jazz singers. And it had all these intonations. So when they decided at the late 1930s, when alcohol came back, that they wanted to get rid of the smoked way of getting high, they called it marijuana, Mary Jane in Spanish. Totally a racist term. There's no history behind it. Most cultures don't use the term. Everyone uses cannabis in most countries. So this is classic racial 1930s U.S. United States of America. And that's but all our federal laws always use the term marijuana.
So then they went and they banned it and made it a drug. It's a medicine. I mean, the plant has no dangerous consequences from taking it, but the government made it a scheduled one drug along with heroin for some, probably a lot of political and moneyed interests.
So that occurred at moneyed interest too. Your history, all by the sound of it. And so that occurs in 1970 when President Nixon was afraid of all the hippies who were smoking marijuana back then, and associated the anti-war movement with marijuana or cannabis. So then they invented the whole Controlled Substances Act. Prior to that, we didn't have schedules. And they invented the act, and Schedule 1, then, as you correctly just said, means there's no possible medical use, it's highly addictive, and a medical doctor wouldn't be able to adequately manage a patient using cannabis. So along with heroin, PCP, MDMA, so it's up there. Whereas cocaine is Schedule 2. Methamphetamine, Schedule 2, but marijuana is Schedule 1. So no research occurs.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So no research occurs, no human research. So all we had after that, after the 70s, is research in animal models and tissue culture. So we weren't allowed to give humans marijuana to test medical benefits.
You know, the thing that really, I guess, didn't surprise me, but I just didn't have an appreciation of the fact that the medicinal uses of marijuana, or of cannabis, the proper name cannabis, was known for thousands and thousands of years in cultures around the world, from China to India to Southeast Asia to where, you know, Europe to, you know, these cultures. And as you said, even in the, 1800s, early 1900s, it was a primary ingredient in many of the products that were used for a variety of health conditions effectively. You know, we have been so brainwashed and propaganda has been so successful, and the other interests that we won't get into right now have been so successful in making this healing plant a demon. It's been demonized, and fortunately...
Demonized. You know, that's the right word.
Right? And your work is so important in being able to, you know, wake people up. Get out of the illusion that we've been programmed to really appreciate this powerful healing medicine, which fortunately is now being researched all over the world with thousands of studies showing how effective it is. So you're, you know, I just applaud you for the courage to be such a pioneer in getting the message out there, because we need to hear it. We desperately need this medicine.
And so, and my biggest struggle is to get the medical community, and it's literally, you know, it's like pulling teeth. They're convinced to this day that medical cannabis is for potheads that want to bypass prohibition and get marijuana so they can get high. Now, my average patient is 50 years, cancer, arthritis, they're middle class, high school to college educated. They have never been a hippie in their life. This stuff works. CBD is amazing too. Since that, you know, that's sort of our main topic. I believe it gives 80% of the benefits of all of the oils in cannabis. There's 144 oils in cannabis, and THC being the other common one. But I believe 80% all the benefits you can get from the entire plant you can get from that one oil, CBD, and it's available over the counter without a prescription. It could be sold next to olive oil at the Publix groceries. That's how safe it is. THC, you know, can get you in some trouble, and that's a whole other conversation. And it does need to be managed, especially when we're using it on specific conditions that are challenging. But for the reason I wrote the book, and I feel so comfortable with people reading the book, the average, you know, average American that likes to read books will be very comfortable using this oil after going through that book. And also, it's filled with websites to go to improve your, increase your knowledge and share some ideas and things like that. So this is great oil, great healthy oil.
Okay, so we need to jump in and talk about all the health benefits, because you list so many in your book, and I think people really need to know all of the conditions that have been proven to be helped by taking the CBD. So first of all, let's just define CBD, what CBD is for people, so they know that this is the legal in all 50 states extract of the cannabis plant. But just explain it a bit more so people know exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, so what I'll do is, so CBD is cannabidiol, is one of the two common oils. So there's a bunch of minor oils, but we're just talking about the two common oils that are, there's a lot of it in the plant. So if you take the plant and you squeeze all the oil out of it, half of it will be CBD and half of it be THC, or, you know, some sort of proportion thereof. And so the CBD is extracted, so there's tiny amounts of THC, not enough to get to have any effect on you at all. It wouldn't even turn your drug test positive. So there's tiny, minuscule amounts left of THC, and it's CBD oil and lots of other oils that are in the plant, things called flavonoids, terpenes, minor cannabinoids, but it's typically, when you buy an extract, it's going to be 3 to 17% CBD in that bottle of extract. So that is from the hemp plant that is grown legally, so it's legal to mail it, buy it, ship it anywhere in the world, and buy it without a prescription. And so what that does, compared to, and we're not going to talk about any other way medical cannabis is used, what CBD does is blocks a particular enzyme in the ECS so that our natural endocannabinoids, or natural chemicals our brain and body is making, increase. The enzyme tends to break them down, and so we block the enzyme so there's more of them around. So we naturally increase our cannabinoid tone. And so because we're increasing the tone, it has a lot of effects on a lot of conditions depending on how you dose it.
Well, let's look at some of those conditions. And I think we should start with one of the areas that it has shown profound effects, and that's on epilepsy.
Okay, great. And so I'm going to keep bringing in the what women must know. So, and also this is bread and butter for me. You know, I deal with the mother or the caregiver, which is usually a woman, of these kids. And these kids are usually pretty darn young, months to 1 or 2 years, with the pediatric epilepsy. And I think we should throw autism in there because 1/3 of the autistic autism spectrum kids have seizures. And there's just a lot of cross-symptomatology between your chronic seizure kid and your autistic kid. There's a lot of similarities medically. And there's a mother who's distraught. This child's having 50 seizures a day. They're not socializing with the other kids in the family, at school. I mean, this is a huge impact. It's not just a kid having a seizure. It, the whole family is impacted. And these are 1/3 of all kids with seizures in this country are not controlled with the FDA-approved medications. So this isn't the rare event. This is 1/3 of all seizures, and autistic kids are not controlled at all by FDA-approved medications. And there's 12 of those medications. And so that's the government let CW, Charlotte's Web, do some research with them. That was the beginning of research, at the TV show Weeds, Dr. Sanjay Gupta. So they let them use this CBD oil on these kids because they tried 12 FDA-approved meds. They don't work. And what we found is that, you know, at least half of these kids were markedly better. You know, they're back to socially acceptable numbers of seizures, and they interact, and they're kids, and they're not just patients anymore. And then another 25% are moderately improved. And then, you know, there's a tiny percent between 3 and 6% that got worse. And then we even have a next step in treatment for those ones that we knew got worse with CBD. So this is, you know, 3/4 were moderate to markedly better with this simple oil that can be sold next to olive oil. And they weren't better with 12 different FDA-approved medications. So that's huge.
Without the side effects that accompany those 12 forms of medications.
Right. The side effects are the biggest reason the kids don't take them. They're terrible side effects. So these are very potent medications. It's not even like having a child. They're constantly asleep. They don't interact with you. You know, it's just not even like having a child when they're on all these medicines. So it's huge.
What's the mechanism of action there? Good question. Yeah.
Yep. Remember the endocannabinoid system is about the brakes. And in this case, the seizure, the neurons are sending too many messages. They're sending what's called an excitation. So they're all excited. The neurons are all excited in one particular part of the brain, one maybe the size of a dime. There's one area of the brain that's been injured or has an infection or has inflammation, and it's overly excited, and it's sparking left and right, sparking, sparking, sparking. Instead of being a nice slow spark every now and then, it's sparking 100 times a minute. And what does the ECS do? It puts the brakes on 12 different systems in the body, and one of those systems is neuroexcitation. So it turns down the neuroexcitation. So if you don't have enough sparks, you don't get the seizure.
Wow. You know, and it's been so effective. It's helped. I mean, some of these kids have 100 seizures a day, you know, I mean, and it, which turns out to be so dangerous and probably life-threatening for these children down the track to have so many seizures.
Yeah, many pass away in age two or three. So, you know, it's 2 or 3 years of the family in torment, followed by them losing the child. Mm. It's just a horrific, and it really had to be that horrific for the politicians to even let these guys try it out.
Right.
That's the sort of level we had to get to.
What about adults?
The same thing. Exactly. It works, yeah. And actually, it's the same number. About one third. Adult seizures, they'll come on usually in response to trauma. You know, it's not a genetic condition like it is with children. Mm-hmm. So they've had head trauma from the military, you know, something like that, a stroke, and they get a seizure in the area of the stroke. But same thing. About two thirds don't respond to the 12 FDA approved meds, and it works the same way. It's a beautiful medicine.
So since we're talking about head trauma, let's talk about post-traumatic stress syndrome and how CBGs can help with that.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a broader umbrella, and then we can go down deeper into it. So one of the other 12 centers, yeah, I think we all know the comedy, you know, the Cheech and Chong, when you smoke a joint or, a cone or whatever, you don't remember anything. You know, there's the joke, and there's definite truth that our short-term memory is impacted by high levels of THC. So CBD, though, does the exact opposite, but with a different part of our brain, in the same nucleus, the same dime-sized area in the brain. But what CBD does is it decreases it improves our memory extinction. So this is the phrase that I'm going to try and get you guys to. So when we have a memory of something horrible, a rape or, you know, a murder or, you know, we lost all our money, you know, so it's some singular event that's very traumatic. So we want that memory to extinguish. We want to learn from the memory, but then we want the actual impact of the memory of what we felt at that moment in time when we heard we lost our dog. We want that to go away, or you can't go continue on in life. So that is how the healthy brain works, is memory extinction, adverse memory extinction. And so CBD helps with adverse memory extinction. It's one of the 12 things I mentioned in the brain. And so here's how it impacts three major diagnoses: PTSD, for obvious reasons, right? You just had a terrible military event, and you have PTSD from it. And this memory won't go away, and then you have nightmares that the memory is going to reoccur. Now, anxiety is a chronic fear of something adverse recurring, maybe childhood trauma, molestation, or a car accident when you were younger. Usually it's childhood trauma. And when you have an anxiety, you have a fear that adverse memory is going to come back again. Okay, it hasn't been extinguished mm-hmm. enough. Mm-hmm. And depression is sadness over an adverse memory that led to a loss. So something happened in our life, and we were sad about it, and we kept being sad. We never extinguished our sadness, and that's depression. So all three of those conditions, the fundamental core is adverse memory extinction, and CBD is amazing at improving adverse memory extinction. So the same memory will not elicit an emotional response. You can have an unemotional look at what happened in this terrible event sometime in the past and not have the fear, anxiety, the palpitations, the shortness of breath that can accompany, PTSD, panic, anxiety. So great, great medicine for all three of those conditions.
You know, that's so amazing to me. I don't know if any of us know how the intelligence of that medicine can go in and extinguish those adverse memories but leave the healthy ones. Does anyone know that? Because that's just amazing, the intelligence of this plant.
I have to tell you, it bothered me that it does so many things because I don't want to sell snake oil. You know, and I refuse. I'm the exact opposite. I'm very scientifically founded, and I don't want to sell snake oil. I was like, how can it affect all these things? And so just like Dr. Rousseau struggled and came up with the endocannabinoid deficiency syndrome, which has now been proven. He came up with that in about 2010. I feel like I'm the first one to put together the adverse memory extinction. Is what's going on with all three of those diagnoses. Like, how can this one oil impact all these things? And really, when you get down to it, the oil does about four or five things, and we're halfway through them. but they have profound effects throughout our body and our functioning, mentally and physically. But their activities, it isn't snake oil. It does four or five things. It does four or five things well, especially when you dose it correctly. That's a huge part of what I do is train. I've trained 1,500 doctors on how to dose these medicines correctly to get the effects.
You know, this reminds me of a quote I found from Thomas Edison, who said, "There were never so many able, active minds at work on the problems of disease as now, and all their discoveries are tending toward the simple truth that we can't improve on nature." That kind of says it all.
Wow.
Don't you love it? You could really relate to that one.
That is beautiful. true that is. this plant, just so you know, going back a little more, you know, sort of broader picture, this plant has been with us for about 11,000 years, so since the end of the last ice age. And so, you know, wheat has been with us a little more, maybe 12,000 years. So, you know, that's the first grain, the first time we can actually stop being hunter-gatherers and actually stay in one place and grow a crop is wheat. And then within 1,000 years, cannabis is with us, and it's been with humans, just like puppies have been, for, you know, 11,000 years. So it's been our companion along with our puppies for about that period of time.
Well, it's returning as our companion, and I think, you know, people understand how they can benefit from the CBDs, which is right now the extract of the plant, the totally legal version that you can get anywhere, really. We'll appreciate just how intelligent nature is and how these plants really are sacred healing plants that have been with us to support us and to help us, you know, return to health and balance, which is pretty phenomenal. I want to be sure in the time we have, we cover some of the other key things you mentioned in your book, because they affect so many people and people need to know about it. So we talked about seizures, we talked about headaches and migraines. Let's talk about chronic pain.
Okay, and good. And I'm going to bring up fibromyalgia.
Okay.
You know, many years in primary care. My brother is as well. He sort of found Jesus as well. About a year and a half ago. He was ex army doctor like myself, and you know, very scientifically founded. And once I sort of introduced him, I had this wonderful 10-minute introduction from procon.com. And once he read that, like, his eyes were open. And so we both have treated, I don't know how many thousand cases of fibromyalgia, and it is very frustrating. And the typical male doctor, you know, without being too sexist, your typical male doctor sort of just says neurotic, or, you know, it's all in their head, you know, because you give them every medication the book tells you you're supposed to give them, and they don't matter. It's a terrible condition. It's quite disabling. And it's real, but it's not occurring in their body. It's occurring in their brain, but it's been very frustrating to most primary care doctors. Nobody wants a fibromyalgia patient for that. So let's talk about what's going on with fibromyalgia. Why is CBD excellent for fibromyalgia? And so what happens with fibromyalgia? Remember, it's one of the endocannabinoid deficiency syndromes. So a young teenage girl has used up her natural endocannabinoids by being on Facebook 10 hours a day and Instagramming, et cetera. And so now they have less break. They don't have the breaks that they used to have, right? So that, remember, the endocannabinoid system is breaks. So when you press on their muscle, the muscles, there's nothing wrong with the muscle. It hurts them. When you press it, they jump off the table. You know, your fibromyalgia patient is called a trigger point. But the pain is being perceived in the brain, in one particular part of the brain. And so that little bit of pressure should go up the spinal cord, tell our pressure sensors in our brain that, oh, okay, I feel a little bit of pressure. But there's no breaks. And so it tells us we feel a lot of pressure, or it hurts, or it's sharp. So your classic fibromyalgia patient then has, you touch them, a massage therapist will tell you, she can tell you a fibromyalgia patient in 1 minute. You start to massage them, and they get off the table because it hurts too much. Who hurts from getting a massage? Generally, when you do a light massage, you're happy about it. So what's happening, though, in the brain is being multiplied because there's no breaks on the pain perception. And so CBD increases the amount of of cannabinoids at that receptor, and so it can put the brakes on and you don't feel as much pain and press on the muscles.
Wow. And does it eliminate the condition?
Well, no. And again, we're treating a deficiency in this particular diagnosis. This is one of the four we're actually.
Right.
So, in order to eliminate the condition, you'd have to stop overusing up all your neurotransmitters, cut back on the amount of time you're on the phone, the amount of overstimulation, multitasking. You know, having three computer screens open and your TV set on. That just uses our neurotransmitters up. You know, we have a finite, at any one moment, we can only make so many neurotransmitters. And so they are used up when we're constantly overusing them.
So it just leads me to ask another question. I mean, we're talking about using it for specific conditions that are very difficult to treat and have been extremely difficult to find solutions for. But since we're under this continuous stress, do you see CBDs as a prophylactic support, as, you know, preventative? Can we be using it to support our endocannabinoid tone on an ongoing basis in our crazy world?
Well, I'm assuming you read the last chapter in my book.
no, not yet.
My boards were now. Well, you've got very good questions. So my boards were in preventive medicine, and so I think we're all familiar with the 81 milligrams of aspirin that we're advised to take starting age 50. Are you familiar with that?
Not really. I'm a naturopath.
Okay. So the CDC came up maybe 10 years ago that we should take a quarter of an aspirin tablet, a baby aspirin, same size as a baby aspirin tablet, once a day after age 50. And what it does is it cuts down our chance of heart attack and stroke by half and the chance of several cancers by about 30%. One second, I had to plug in my cable. Okay, I'm there. You're right?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm
okay.
Here.
So, yeah, so the task force came up with this great recommendation, and it works. So one baby aspirin a day cuts our chance of heart attack and stroke in half and our chance of about five different fat-related cancers by 30%, bowel, breast, lung, prostate. So there you are. How nice is that? So I took that analogy, and with as much information as I have, and I keep getting more. There's 3,000 active studies at the moment, so that I am full-time constantly reading studies. So I took that information, and I came up with a preventive guideline. And we need to talk about one other set of diagnoses right after I talk about this guideline, because it's implicit in the guideline. And so this is how to take CBD daily as a preventive. Okay, and it's a nice dose. It's 10 milligrams at bedtime under the tongue. You don't swallow it. You always want to take your CBD under the tongue because if you swallow it, 90% doesn't get into your body at all. It's metabolized. So you want to swish it around on your tongue. And 10 milligrams a day at bedtime would probably be a nice time to take it. And here's a big group of conditions we haven't even brought up yet, which also relates to women. And that's neurodegenerative diseases. Probably the classic being Alzheimer's, and then, you know, dementias in general, age-related dementias, and then Alzheimer's. And so these are neurodegenerative conditions. In every case, there is a – due to – remember you talked about the oxidative stress?
Mm-hmm.
So oxidative stress causes our proteins to misfold. So the oxidative stress inside the cell causes these protein bridges. The proteins are the way, they're like the bridges and the roads of the cell. So the proteins inside the cell are the bridge work and the road work. And so when you have oxidative stress, it denatures the proteins and the bridges and roads don't work well. If you take an egg and you crack it, you know how it turns from clear to white and thick?
Mm-hmm.
That's protein being denatured. The clear protein is a nice, healthy protein, and then as soon as you heat it up, you oxidate it, it turns into white, thick eggs that we're used to. So that happens inside our cells when we have oxidative stress. We have we've lost our bridges and roads working effectively. And so the cell starts gradually not working effectively. Things start accumulating, all sorts of garbage literally starts accumulating in the cell. And that's what causes Alzheimer's, Huntington's, Parkinson's, and dementia. It just depends which of the dime-sized centers of the brain it affects the worst, which disease you get. But they're all neurodegenerative diseases, and they're all due to proteins misfolding. So there's a nice broad category of neurodegenerative diseases. And so the way these cells really start dying is our immune system starts attacking these cells that have all the toxic buildup, all the garbage buildup in them. And so our own immune system is literally killing our neurons and causing these conditions to progress more quickly. So without our immune system, they probably would progress really, really, really slowly. But when our immune system gets in there to kind of clean up and make things better, it's killing neurons and causing...
It's like an autoimmune condition. Would it fall into that category?
It wouldn't, because it's not a specific antibody against the cell membrane, uh-huh, as there is, you know, like multiple sclerosis or, you know, several other autoimmunes, about rheumatoid arthritis, scleroderma. No, so those are autoimmune conditions. But our immune system is doing the damage, but it's not autoimmunity. It's just the immune system doing what it's supposed to do, clean up debris inside cells. But while it cleans it up, it tends to kill the neuron, because neurons are very fastidious. They don't do well. Other cells can regrow and replicate, but neurons don't replicate. So you only get one set of neurons. So that's a great condition. And CBD then... What is the second part of CBD? So it decreases the exciticity that we talked about earlier, and it turns down the immune system. So all of our immune cells are covered with CB2 receptors. So our liver, our spleen, and all of our red cells and white cells are covered with CB2 receptors. Not our red cells, our white cells are covered with CB2 receptors. And so by increasing the tone of it decreases the immune response. More CBD, less immune response. That's how it works. Puts the brakes on the immune response.
When it's inappropriate, or when it's acting inappropriately in an inappropriate place, like the brain.
No matter what. So for example, you know, you could have HIV or tuberculosis, and you wouldn't want to give someone a high dose of CBD, like 400 milligrams a day, something like that, because you're going to actually turn down their natural immune system. But those cases are few and far between. Most of the patients I treat are 60 to 200 milligrams a day of CBD. You know, there's not much. You don't worry about an HIV patient or a tuberculosis patient with that kind of dose.
Okay. So, I'm just looking at our time, and we're almost over, and I want to just list the other conditions in your book. And I do recommend people pick up your book, CBD, What You Need to Know by Dr. Gregory Smith. And you can also visit his website, which I have a website here for you, cannabis-md.com. Is that the best one, or is there another one you would like people to go to?
That's the best one for me, but I think to learn about CBD is, mm-hmm, is the cbdproject.org. It's a phenomenal website, cbdproject.org, and it's phenomenal, and it's got a bunch of editors, and it's very high caliber material that it's been screened and peer reviewed. So if you want to learn more after the book on any particular topic, that's the right website.
Right. It's got all the research studies there. Right.
Yeah, and my site's for training doctors, nurses, and pharmacists, whereas, you know, uh-huh, the average patient is more at the CBD.
Okay, but if people want to know more about you, that'd be a good place to go.
That's a very good place.
Okay, so in just the few minutes, I'm just going to go through in your book the different conditions. Some of them we've talked about: seizures and epilepsy, headaches and migraines, chronic pain, addictions, the use of CBDs to help taper people off of opioids, which is a huge conversation on its own.
Can I stop you there? I'm going to put in one little, Cheryl. My next book coming out in about 90 days, which I'm writing with my brother, who's become quite an opioid specialist, is Get Off Opioids. Again, targeting patients, empowering patients with the information they need to get off opioids by themselves, you know, hopefully with the working with their provider. But if the doc's not going to help them, which is very common, they can get off opioids. And a couple of the ways in that book are use CBD and some use cannabis, but there's all sorts of other ways there's all sorts of ways to get off opioids. Both my brother and I have helped people over the years. So we wrote a patient empowerment book on opioids.
Well, we'll have to make a date in 90 days.
I like that. But there's more men than women on that one. Can I still talk on this show?
Oh, this show's for everybody. We've got everybody here.
Okay.
So, but it was great that you did highlight some of the benefits for women, because women are just so much more vulnerable to stress, and or at least it shows up in different ways. The men shows up with their hormones, their migraines, with fibromyalgia. So it's great. And you know, whether you're dealing with cancer, or whether you're dealing with psychiatric condition, bipolar, schizophrenia, whether you're dealing with gastrointestinal issues, whether it's, the list goes on here, psoriasis, skin issues, CBDs can help you. So everyone listening, you need to learn more about CBDs. It's a safe, natural way. And Dr. Gregory Smith, we've come to the end of the show. It's been such a pleasure, and I just so respect the wonderful work you're doing and taking the role of being a pioneer in this area that has so much profound healing that we need at this time. So thank you for the great work you're doing, and I look forward to getting you back on the show with your new book in 90 days.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, cool. Dr. Shulman, thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. And to all of you listening, pick up Dr. Greg Smith's book, CBD, What You Need to Know. Go to the website, which you'll learn more about him, cannabis-md.com, or search him, Gregory L. Smith. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. So until next time, bye for now.